Have you been avoiding conflict lately? Are you afraid that if you speak your truth to someone, you might damage the relationship permanently? Is inner conflict eating you up inside? Maybe you're thinking one thing, but doing another, and you just can't seem to get your head and heart to line up. As humans, we all deal with conflict. Join Jennifer McKenna now as she talks to business leaders about the importance of conflict and how we can all move through it with greater grace and ease, ultimately taking our relationships and our lives to the next level by facing conflict courageously.
Welcome to the show, everyone. It's Jennifer, and I've got here my guest, Jameine Moton, who is the founder and CEO of Skylar. Do you call it the Skylar firm or Skylar Security, Jameine?
So we call it Skylar Security.
Okay.
The Skylar firm is the parent company, so we call it Skylar Security.
Awesome. Well, so today on this show, we always talk about cultural issues and the conflict that we have to move through to get to a place of peace. And so the first thing that came to mind when we decided to launch this show was public safety and security. Yeah. The sense of security is an issue in today's world. So yeah. I wanted you to come on board today and share your professional insights, help us take the conversation to a meaningful level so that we can leave the hour giving listeners some real good insights on what they can do to increase their sense of safety and security. So for now, I want
to
kick off. Good. I just like to kick off by just asking you to share the story of why you started Skylar Security.
Oh, well, it goes all the way back to when I was in high school. And I know I've shared this story with you, that I was a bully's bully. And at the time, I didn't realize that that is really who I am at the core. And when I say that, a lot of people are like, you don't seem like a bully type. I said, well, mess with somebody else. Like, you know, beat up somebody or bully somebody, and you'll see me come out. I've always been the advocate for. And so it's not by surprise that I became a police officer for Metro Atlanta Police Department. It's not surprising either that I have started my own business in the security space, and I have a lot of fun servicing our clients, coming up with ideas on how to service them. But at the end of the day, we protect people, and we help people feel safe. We help people feel secure. And at the end of the day, that is what we do every day, and we're honored to have that responsibility.
Awesome. So for our listeners, I'm just going to give them a little bit of a background, because selfishly, I love the fact that you and I are friends. You are not just a guest coming in representing security. But I want to tell the little story about how we met and a little bit about our relationship. So Jameine and I were classmates in a wonderful program for female entrepreneurs called Launchpad 2X. Started and founded by Bernie Dixon. And we are lucky enough to be recipients of this great program.
Absolutely.
And it is a program that helps female entrepreneurs become CEOs of multimillion dollar companies. And so Bernie, you know, has to kind of believe that you have what it takes, and your business has a vision and an objective to have that potential. So,
right.
So Jameine and I show up to the kickoff party.
Here we go.
Out of the blue, here she comes, and we meet and immediately hit it off. From that day, Jameine has referred to us as twins, and so
truly.
I love it. And when people are around us, they look at us like, what are you talking about? Because Jameine is a former basketball star for Clemson University.
280 so you can imagine. Pounds strong. 280 strong. 286 foot strong.
And how tall?
6 foot. Yeah, I'm not little.
Six foot.
I've never
she
been
is,
a little girl.
She is a force, okay? But I am 4'10".
Not even 5 feet.
I am, nope. Not even 5 feet. I wear 3 to 4 inch heels every day to make sure I reach that. But You know, I'm as white as the snow, Jameen.
Full African American, okay?
So when people see us together, they don't understand the
like,
twin.
So how did you guys meet?
Remark.
It's always the
right.
question. So how do you guys
right.
know each other?
Yes. But 5 minutes with us, and you're going to see why. Why we see ourselves so much alike and so connected, because we see the world very similarly, and we have Absolutely. Equal amounts of passion about changing it for the better. So this Absolutely. Is why I had you on the show. I'm very eager for you to share what I know about you with our listeners, because I think your insight can help a lot of people feel a greater sense of safety. So talking about, you know, how you got started and why you do what you do, can you give us a little bit of information about what you do today versus who you were when you were a police officer, how the world of security that you're in today differs from that, and who your client typically is?
Yeah, so I started the business, I started Skylark Security 2 years into being a police officer. I had a situation, you know, I'm a seven-time Hall of Famer, right? So athletics is what I do, it's what I did. I don't know, I'm not that person or that athlete to sit on the bench and just kind of cake through. So I've always been an overachiever and always given 150% in everything. Always the one doing slightly the most. And in a police department, you can probably imagine that probably didn't sit very well, but I always was that person to actually, you know, aim for it. So I was told that I was too supervisory one day and probably doing too much one day. And so I went home, looked in the mirror and realized that I was an entrepreneur and I needed to give myself the space to grow, to develop a product that could mimic my police officer strategy. And so that's what I did. I built Skylark Security 2 years into being a police officer. And honestly, we have not looked back. We have, from that point to even now, and then we will continue to develop solutions around what our clients are looking for and how we can help them feel safe. Security is an emotion. Jen, you know I say that all the time. I say it everywhere I go, every chance I can get, that security is an emotion and that everyone deserves to be safe. That the security industry is not a business. And you know I talk about that all the time. Mm-hmm. Security is not a business. It is an emotion. And so Skylark actually mimics two things. It mimics those two statements, and then it also mimics my community-oriented policing model when I was a police officer. And so you can only imagine our processes and our operations and how important every single thing that we do is to us, from the type of provider, type of security guard that we identify as a provider for us, how we identify our clients, and just how we interact with the providers. We offer, you know, higher than industry wages. We've studied the pain points of the industry, and we have literally created a solution for all of those pain points. So we're really excited about that. And so you ask, who are our clients? One thing that we've chosen to do, and we've done it for the past 5 years, is that we only grow from referrals. And that's something that we're probably going to have to reevaluate, but I like the fact that nobody knows about us, really, and that our community is very small. The only way you can be a provider for us is if you know someone that's already attached to the brand, whether it be a client, a Team Skylark member, or a Skylark friend, then you'll be able to get in. Otherwise, you're not going to be able to inbox us on Instagram, try to get an interview. It just doesn't work like that. We found that by doing that, on both the client side and the provider side, that we have a really, really nice marriage of expectations and delivery. And so it's been really, really, really nice to see the teams grow and our client roster grow. We started off as a project-based security company, where we would do a lot of events, a lot of film work, things that had a start and an end date, and we love that because we like putting teams together. But what we found is as we've grown, the need went from not only project-based work, but also like Class A concierge buildings. We've launched into that market. We also work with a lot of HOAs. We also work with projects that require quick mobilization. So really excited about, you know, just being able to be a full service security company that's able to service not only like a high rise class A building all the way to somebody's garage is broken and they need a security guard to come in and provide services. So really excited about where we're going and the future of Skylar.
Great. So I wanted to just kind of frame that so people understand that, you know, security is, if you are hosting something at your home or, as you said, an HOA, and so for our global friends, just to let you know, an HOA is basically an organization that kind of, what would you say, governs whole neighborhoods, I guess, if you wanted to put it simply.
Right.
And so
the
security.
Association.
Yeah. And so if they wanted to secure their neighborhood, right, this mm-hmm. is an offering. So
right.
I'm going to jump right into kind of the issue that made me want you on the show. And that is with the increase in public shootings.
Yeah.
We as humans now have a tendency to twitch a little when we think about going to big events.
Sure.
And
right.
we're not, you know, some of us talk about it openly. Most people aren't talking about it, but unconsciously it's still having an impact on our peace, our peace of mind. We see activists out there all the time trying so hard to get some control over this in some level so that we feel our sense of safety again, because it's one of our basic fundamental human needs. So it's something that I strongly believe in, that we've just let it run amok, and that's a problem. But we're not here to talk about gun laws. What we are here to talk about is the byproduct of the lack of gun laws and the events that have occurred because of it that have messed with our peace of mind. So can you talk about how you've seen that impact your work, how you address it? Because it's my understanding that much of your workforce is unarmed. And so how are you able to provide security? How do you go about this in this kind of world?
So let me share these two stats with you, that one of the things you just listed. The majority of our security guards are unarmed, okay? Let's just keep that. That's one. Then secondly, the majority of our security guards are female, okay? Now, when I sit with my clients and I you know, one of our things, our customized features is that the client picks the team flat out. You know, I give suggestions, but pretty much they tell me what they want. And so when they say, well, I'd like a male, traditionally, right? I'd like a male, 6'10", you know, 425, bouncer, you know, has the size. And I'll ask them, tell me why you want that. And at the end of the conversation, I found that the majority of them, in some cases, I would have suggested an individual that carried that size. But in most cases, they just want to feel safe. And that image makes them feel safe. So what we do is we try to break down those stereotypes. So our top performers are female. Our top performers are unarmed guards. Let me give you an example. So one of our sites is staffed with both police officers and unarmed guards. Jen, tell me who you think are the top performers. Which category would you assume would be the top performer?
Well, how would you measure top performer? What does that mean?
So from the Skylar perspective, right, they take initiative. They're on time. They're present. They exceed the client's expectations. They over-deliver on the expectation of what the client is looking for. They're personable. Their communication and EQ, emotional quotient skills, are top of the game. Who do you think is the top performer?
Well, I'll let you tell us. I don't know.
So it's not the police officer.
Okay.
You know, it's not the police officer. It's the unarmed guard. And when I say that, people are like, there's no way. There's no way the police officer isn't overperforming, because traditionally you would think that a cop is going to come well-trained, well-prepared, take the initiative. Think of the gig more than an off-duty job, right? They actually care about the client. So on this particular site, the unarmed guards, the client is so frustrated, right? Because the unarmed guards are overperforming the police officers. Okay, so why? The Skylar philosophy is what I want to tell you about. So Skylar believes in a concept called preceding the need. Okay, what does that have to do with security? What does that have to do with helping people be safe in their communities, in their the events that they show up to? So there are some threats and attacks that we will not be able to stop. Okay, that's just, it is what it is, and you have to say it. We can look at some of the more current attacks and terrorist attacks and things of that nature. There's just, there was nothing that you could do to alleviate. And unfortunately, that is the fact. But what we can do is to get in front of the need and try to precede it so that we guard ourselves from being a victim of crime. And there's tons of things that you can do to keep yourself from being a victim of crime. What we do from a industry perspective is we precede the need. So then when we tell people our unarmed guards are overperforming, then the question is, tell me how we perceive the need. So we're not going to wait for the threat to come in the door before we address it, right? So if you're at an HO, you're on, let's say a business, one of our retail businesses. Let's talk about one of the largest events that we have here in the U.S. is around St. Patrick's Day. So my COO and I did an undercover boss in a community where there were 500,000 people walking around on the street, right? So how do you perceive the need? So you're not going to be holding your cell phone in your hand, texting. You're going to be in tune with the community. You're going to be in tune with the client. You're going to be in tune with the employees inside the store. In this particular community, there's an ordinance around drinking in the streets. So you're going to see a lot of people that are full of alcohol and just casually enjoying themselves. There was a gentleman inside the store. He could barely walk in the store, Jen. He could barely put one foot in front of the next. Was he causing a disturbance at that time? No. Did I want to take him to jail? No. Was I concerned for his safety? Yes. And because of that yes, he immediately got my attention. So I walked over to him, and this is the philosophy of Skylar, perceive the need. I walk over to him, and I start talking to him. And I say, "Hey, sir, how you doing?" He's like, "Where are my friends?" You know, I said, "I don't know where your friends are, but can I help you find a seat?" Again, I'm trying to make sure through communication, rapport, and perceiving the need that he gets to his seat safely, that he eats his food, he enjoys his hamburger. Then after he eats, that he gets in an Uber and goes home, because God forbid he get in the car and drive, right? So literally managing that whole situation, preceding every need that could possibly come up, he gets into the Uber and we're able to get him home. The next day, Jen, you're not going to believe this. The next day, we're standing outside the front of the store. He comes by, and if you can imagine, the whole 6 foot, 280 frame in a tactical Class B uniform, he literally runs up to me and bear hugs me. And I'm looking at him, I'm like, wait a second, please. I'm like, you're not supposed to, you know, be touching me or whatever. But he's like, I just want to thank you for what you did yesterday. You were able to get me home safely. So if we as an industry can take a more proactive approach to what safety and security means to our community, then I think we are on the way to lifting our industry. That's one example, but we get those all the time because our officers really do try to get in front of both minor and major issues that may confront our clients.
That's awesome. So we're going to take a quick commercial break, and when we come back, we're going to do a deeper dive in today's public safety issues. We'll be back.
Connecting you with the best of the conscious minds in the world. Om Times Radio. IOM FM.
Om Times Magazine is one of the leading online content providers of positivity, wellness, and personal empowerment. A philanthropic organization, their net proceeds are funneled to support worldwide charity initiatives via Humanity Healing International. Through their commitment to creating community and providing conscious content, they aspire to uplift humanity on a global scale. Connect at omtimes.com. Om Times, creating a more conscious lifestyle.
I'm Kathy Williams, host of Sexy Mom Abundant Life radio show on Thursdays at 5 p.m. Eastern, 2 p.m. Pacific. On the show, we explore living abundantly in every area of your life. Ways to let go of limiting patterns and beliefs and to step into the flow of creativity and possibility, knowing you are supported by the universe.
Opiates has taken everything and everyone I've ever loved away from me. Everything.
I blew my ankle out and I got prescribed pain pills by my doctor.
If making my detox public is going to help somebody, I'm all for it. I just wish I would have had a warning.
Opioid dependence can happen after just 5 days. Know the truth, spread the truth. A message from Truth, the Ad Council, and ONDCP.
Welcome back. So we are talking to Jameen Moton, who is the founder and CEO of Skylar Security, and she just shared before our commercial break a story that I think is very compelling, and it illustrates what I'm going to call a prevention model, right? So in crime and the things that threaten our sense of safety and security in our communities, it really, you know, after the fact, it's too late, right?
Yeah,
so what I'm hearing you say, you know, you talk about preceding the need, which I love that slogan. I love that you operate from that intention.
Yeah.
What I'm hearing, and the way I'm going to translate it, is in my world, I look at things as either prevention or intervention.
Yep.
You can either be proactive and you can get in front of something and prevent a situation, or you can carry on with business as usual, whatever that is for you, and take the chance that you're going to end up just being reactive and then requiring an intervention. So I feel like what I'm hearing you say is that the model of security as you've defined it is more of the prevention model, and the model that we have in our police force is typically intervention, right? We see police officers on their phones all the time. You use that as an example, right?
Yeah.
And so they really don't motivate, as we observe, until there's a situation. Hey, you ran the stop sign. Hey, you just, you know, I came after somebody. Who knows what, right? Whatever the crime is. Or, you know, in the really extreme sense of what I started the conversation with is like in a public shooting, right? Then you've got the whole SWAT team coming in and trying to fix it. But the problem's already, we're past that now, right? We're in full crisis mode. We are in full tragedy situations. So when we get back to the point of how do we increase our sense of security and safety? I love that that's what you're doing with your company. Can you tell us a little bit more of what happens when people come to you? And maybe they don't, you know, I don't want to assume something that's false, but when they come to you with that image that you described in the first part of the show, with, you know, the very demonstrative man who, you know, they just got this vision of the Hulk.
Yeah, pretty much.
Whatever.
Like, I don't even think that person's alive. Who is that?
And when you say we're unarmed, what about the guys who are going to say, well, then what? You're the waste of my time. You're wasting my time. Because what are you going to do if somebody comes here with a gun? Because they're able to. You know, people can walk around with a gun anywhere.
That client, and I have to say this, the client that I was referencing said exactly that. I had two clients say that to me at the same time. We were onboarding both of them. And they said, well, we like the unarmed guard, but what do they do? So there's a whole space for re-education in the industry around the purpose of eyes and ears. To me, that is more valuable than paying almost double the price for a police officer to just stand by. Now, if the police officer would be preventative and to intervene, then now we're talking about a person that's worth the investment, right?
Okay.
But if we're talking about an unarmed guard, then typically, traditionally, in a traditional business model, guess what? I wouldn't even want to pay for a traditional security guard. For what? right? But now what Skylar is trying to do is not only reach, educate the industry, but offer an, a non-traditional solution that says our guards, we're not saying we're better. We just offer solutions in a different type of way. And so it's just a totally different, it's not funny because it's not a funny conversation. But I'm very confident in what our security guards are able to do. And so I go with them because, you know, it's customized. They tell me what they want. I'll give it to them, but then I'll say, listen, would you give me the ability to introduce you to what we call the Skylar Way? If you can give me a second to introduce you to our unarmed guards, then in this case, that would work. Now, we have clients that the traditional security guard, where, like I said, could be the bouncer type, would work. So we're talking about philosophy in. So we have armed guards, we have police officers that are Skylar Way, that do take a more proactive approach to problem solving. So all police officers are not bad, but what we like to do is to educate the clients to ask the question, so you can make sure you're getting somebody that is aligned with what your expectations are.
Well, I think this is so fascinating, and I'm really excited about what you can do to create a paradigm shift in the security industry. And here's why. I think that we've had a big, you know, in the past, I would say, 4 to 5 years, we've just started to see such a huge division in our country politically. Yeah. But what that's representative of, I think, is positions on situations like this, right, is that we just continue to be divided. You have the people who are more prevention-oriented, and you have the people who are more intervention-oriented, you know, the ones that are fear-based, the ones that are, you know, I don't know, more – I always say love-based, but I'm not going to use that as a slight towards the others because I don't want to be more divisive. But my point being is that when you're not fear-based and you are love-based in your decision-making, typically what happens is you make decisions based on the value of, you know, creating the best quality of life for yourself and those you love and your community and then your world and then your environment. And it goes, you know, it just spans. There's a ripple effect to that thought process.
Right.
And so you proactively think about how do we make this great as opposed to making decisions based on potential threats, right? The fear-based.
Right.
Well, what if the guy with the gun does come in and shoot us down? What then?
Right.
And so
right.
where I've seen that divide in the kind of the consumer mindset toward police officers is in the Black Lives Matter movement, right?
Right.
I think
sure.
that whole movement has created a huge upheaval in our greater culture that says,
sure.
wait a minute, police officers are actually harmful. They're not
right.
making us feel safe. They're making us feel
right.
threatened. And I think that's
right.
unfortunate for police officers. But to
Absolutely.
Your point, there is a paradigm shift that could occur. There's an opportunity
yes.
there, right?
Yes, that is occurring.
It is
it's literally
yes,
occurring
yes.
in the city of Atlanta right now because of the work.
So give us hope.
Yes.
Tell us that. Tell us about that.
So,
let me tell you
what we are. We are in conversation with not only other security companies, because like I told you, our passion is to lift the industry. We're not trying to disrupt it. We are not trying to compete with anybody. We're trying to offer a different philosophy around security. Okay, what does that mean? So I'll tell you a short story. So I still have my badge. I am a police officer, and I'm a proud police officer. When I was a cop, I was very proud to be a police officer. And I was policing around the time when Ferguson and all those things were coming down the pipe. We would talk in roll call about being careful, you know, be careful standing in front of a store talking to someone in the community because people get shot like that. So they were shooting you and killing police officers because you had the uniform on. That's a problem. Okay, so we're going about our days working. I get a phone call, not a phone call, I get dispatched to a 911 call, okay? And when I would get dispatched to calls, I wouldn't make assumptions. I don't make assumptions. I didn't make assumptions. I knew somebody was calling me to their home because they were dealing with a crisis that they couldn't manage themselves. my assumption, I didn't read the narrative and then go to the house and say, okay, well, there's going to be an arrest today, right? And start mm-hmm. laughing. No, you go, you sit in these people's homes, you navigate, you counsel, you educate. And so the department that I was attached to really, really honed in on education around crisis management, right? So it wasn't always about the kick mark. It wasn't always about the arrest. It was about truly helping people at the core of their need. And so that really stuck with me because at the end of the day, our passion is community. And it inevitably became the core philosophy of the business that we have today. I want to tell you another story. So I was a courtesy officer of an apartment complex. And we used to always, I used to always spend time in that complex just trying, giving them what we call general patrols, giving them the visibility of the vehicle. So there's one day I drive into the complex and I see an African-American male to my left walking into the complex, right? And so I thought it was kind of strange. I was like, I wonder where he's going if he lives on the property. Let me stop and have a conversation with him and figure out, you know, who he is and where he's going. Get out the car. He barely stopped, right, to talk to me. I get out the car and I say, hey, sir, how you doing? And he looked away. Jen, if you could have seen this guy look at me, it was like the death of me. And he turns to me and he's like what? And I said, hey, and, you know, and when I was a police officer, I didn't talk like I talk now, right? Mm-hmm. He was like, what? And I said, hey, man, hey, bro, listen. I said, I'm just trying to talk with you. Where are you going? And he was like, why? Do you have a reason to stop me? And I said, I just like genuinely want to, and I didn't laugh, but I was just like, why are you so defensive? I said, I'm just mm-hmm. here trying to figure out who you are, where you're going. Like, are you going to your friend's house? Do you live on the property? I said, brother, I'm just trying to have a conversation with you. And I didn't have any reason, right, to arrest the guy. He didn't have to talk to me. He could have walked away from me and I would have gotten in my car and went out. Right. I didn't have no incidents to arrest, no probable cause or anything. So it truly was a simple conversation. When I tell you, I got out the car and I said, hey, man, what's wrong? What did I do to cause you to be so rude to me? Now, mind you, if you can imagine, Jen, I'm standing in my uniform. OK, I could have mm-hmm. easily made a big deal about that. But me and my badge, my car, all my tricked out stuff around my waist, I'm looking at him with my hand on my hip saying, bro, calm down. Like, why are we having this exchange? I said, let me ask you a question. I said, have I been disrespectful to you? No, man. No, you haven't. I said, but I can't stand the effing police. Okay, so, okay, but have I done anything to hurt you or disrespect you, sir? He said, no, you didn't. I said, so can we talk from here? Where are you going? I'm going home. You live on the property? Yes. Great. Okay. What's your address? G5. Great. So you live on the property. Okay. So now let's have a conversation. Now that I know where you're going and that you're supposed to be here, let's talk. I said, tell me why you're so defensive to police officers. He started to tell me story after story after story of police officers that have engaged him inappropriately. Not in Metro Atlanta. This was in another state. But he was like, I don't like the police. They always stopping me and talking to me just because of the way I look. And I'm done. Like, I'm finished. I'm tired of it. I just don't engage you guys. And so it ended up being an hour. I pulled myself off the grid. I told radio that I'm fine. No need to check on me. I said, I'm going to hold myself out here for about 30 minutes to talk to this guy. When I tell you that little bit of time I spent with him, not only calmed him down, but what it did, Jen, it reassured him that everybody is not like that, number one, and that there are some police officers that genuinely have a heart for the community that technically we just want to help. Like, we're actually called to this. Like, it's not a check in the mail for me. I have a master's and an undergrad degree. I could make six figures anywhere in the U.S. doing anything I wanted to do. I'm here because I have a heart for the community. I'm literally standing here in front of him because I love what I do. I make a choice to be a police officer, okay? So I told him, I said, I'm here because this is truly what my heart's passion is in my life. So the way he was looking at me was like, yeah, there's hope for communities because of people that demonstrate that community-oriented policing mindset, but also the philosophy that just because this guy had an attitude, I could have easily went from 0 to 10. But he had an attitude with me, but I didn't. I said, hold on, bro. I said, hold on, man. You know, why are you upset with me? I understand why you may be upset with the industry, but why are you upset with me? So then we were able to have a conversation. I'm not saying that every solution, every situation can be resolved that civilly. Sometimes that's why we have guns and things of that nature, because we have to defend ourselves sometimes. But that percentage of time where you don't have to respond using use of force, then the departments and the agencies all over the U.S. and even the world should have another option that is just as effective but is not a use of force. Does that make sense?
It does, and it requires setting your ego aside, because to your point, when you are in full uniform, you are powered up, right? And if all your hardware and all your firearms and your siren make you
280 pounds, right?
280 pounds of you with all of that gear, that could easily set your ego aflame. And when he started talking sassy, I'm sure he would not appreciate that way of describing himself.
No, that's
but
okay.
when he started giving you a hard time, had you not been able to humble yourself and had your intent not been as pure as it was, he could have been in your back seat with handcuffs.
Oh yeah,
in no time flat.
Yeah, easily.
Because it would have escalated into just cause. Right?
Right.
And not every time, but certainly it had all the makings. It had all of the elements that could lead to that. So I think you're touching on something huge here. We're probably going to be taking a commercial break in a minute. So real quickly, can you tell – well, here we go. We're going to have to take a break. when we come back, you talked about what's happening in Atlanta. I'd like for you to come back and share that with us. So stay tuned.
Awesome.
Free your mind with Om Times Radio, IOM FM. Host your show on IOM FM, the radio network of Om Times Media, one of the more recognized brand names in the conscious community, and is backed by the extensive marketing reach of Om Times. Hosting a show on IOM FM immediately connects you with our extensive, dedicated community.
Hello, I'm Sandy Sedgbeer, host of Om Times Magazine's flagship radio show, What is Going On? My passion is sifting through information, research, and innovations from New Thought teachers, speakers, and researchers pushing back the boundaries of what we know about life, energy, metaphysics, and the universe. I love shifting perceptions about who we are, why we're here, and how quickly impossible becomes normal when we open our minds, expand our awareness, and accept that the only limits that exist are those we place upon ourselves. So if you're the kind of forward-thinking, eager investigator of what lies beyond the current reality that most perceive, why not make a date to come play with me in the field of possibilities at 4 p.m. Pacific Time, 7 p.m. Eastern Time every Thursday, and together we can discover what's really going on.
Imagine being fired because of who you love. Imagine being denied medical treatment because of who you marry. Imagine being evicted because of who you are. Millions of Americans don't have to imagine this. They have to live it. Because in 31 states, it's legal to discriminate against LGBT people. Get the facts at beyondido.org. Brought to you by the Gill Foundation and the Ad Council.
Welcome back. We're talking to Jameen Moton, who is the CEO and founder of Skylar Security. And Jameen, I've loved your stories. They're great illustrations that get to the kind of the heart and soul of our safety and security issues in today's world. You did indicate in the last portion of the show that there's some great advances in this paradigm shift, as I've called it, right, from going from the old kind of police mentality of just intervene after the fact into more of a preventive frame of mind with the intent to build strong, safe, and healthy communities. It's a very different paradigm. You indicated that some of that work is happening here in Atlanta. So can you share a little bit about that?
Well, there's several tiers. So there are amazing police departments in the metro Atlanta area that we partner with our company, that mimic the philosophy, and they become amazing partners. And not just the city of Atlanta, but also metro Atlanta police agencies that get it. And, you know, we do an onboarding process as we do for our security guards. We do the same thing for police officers, because we feel that the expectation, the standard has to be raised for everybody, whether you have a badge, a police badge or not, right? So we are able to find plenty of police officers, and not just one or two, but teams full that mimic that philosophy. So we're really, really excited about those partnerships. But also in the security industry, we find that our clients, like I said, event organizers, building owners, developers, and homeowners associations, the whole community, whether they're in the business community or residential, that they're ready for change. They're ready for a security company that not only understands what their needs are, but will hold the security guards accountable for exceeding that expectation. So we've grown. You can imagine how fast we're growing. We're growing very, very fast. And what that's telling me is that the clients here that we have here in the city of Atlanta are ready to raise the bar, because they understand that it takes a collective, right? Crime is the ultimate equalizer. So it doesn't have a gender, it doesn't have a sexual preference, it doesn't have a race or a religion, right? Crime is equalizes everybody flat to the ground. If you haven't experienced it, hopefully you haven't experienced it, but it affects us all every day we think about it. So what does that mean? That means that everyone from the community to, like I said, the business owners to the homeowners has to have a higher expectation for the security companies. Do we have an issue when it comes to the standard and the quality of security guards in the city of Atlanta? I believe that we do. At the rate that we're growing, people prefer Skylar. And I'm not saying that as the owner. I am just the voice of the movement. It's not just Skylar. There are other companies that understand the Skylar philosophy and mimic it as well. So it's not just Skylar. But we're hoping that we can be at the very forefront of not only the conversation but the service, and allow it to infiltrate the industry, not only in Atlanta, but all across the U.S. and all across the world. They are responding, and they are demanding that not just police officers exceed the standard when it comes to customer service, effectiveness on duty. And it's not just an off-duty job. So you hopefully, you know, when you see a Skylar police provider or a Skylar, you know, security guard, I'll tell you, their phones better not be in their hands. They better be attentive. They have to engage. They have to be alert. And so the security guard that just sits down and talks on their cell phone is the security guard of the traditional. And the non-traditional are the providers that are able to, like I said, exceed the expectations and be relevant. And not just respond and react, but be prepared to do what we have to do to make sure that crime doesn't affect our clients. And so we're really, again, glad of those police officer partners with those agencies. We've had a great response from the City of Atlanta, Atlanta Police Department, which makes up the majority of the City of Atlanta, Fulton County, you know, South Fulton, all those amazing agencies, Clayton County Police Department, to name another one. All of them are really at the front of the conversation around community-oriented policing, but also partnering with the private security industry side, so that we can have a collective approach on what safety and security looks like in our community. So, I mean, I like to use the word big ups. Big ups to the city of Atlanta and Atlanta for being at the front of that conversation. We're hoping that we can be the benchmark and share the story all over the U.S.
Awesome. Well, I'm thrilled to hear that. I want to kind of come full circle here, because the show really is about helping individuals and helping them move through conflict so that together, when each of us do that individually, we create a higher consciousness in our culture, right? We create the culture that we want. We are not victims of a culture that we don't want, like many feel today, but we have the empowered state to actually create the one we want without going to war. That would be the ultimate goal. So,
right.
You know, and a lot of times people default to that, thinking the only way we can solve this is to become massive activists and go to war against this. And, you know, there's the whole resist movement and everything else going on. And I'm not against any of it. What I'm saying is my little part in this is to try to really educate, enlighten, and empower individuals to just shift their frame of mind. Because it is my belief, after 17 years of doing the transformational work I do as a coach and consultant, moving people through conflict to create the cultures they want in the workplace, it is my belief that human behavior is dictated by human belief. And human belief is 9 times out of 10 unconscious. So everyone's just reacting to the sense and the feelings and the emotions that are generated biochemically from being triggered into their fear. So there's a whole show that I could do on that. That's not my point. What I am trying to say, to come full circle, is that I want to leave listeners with a more tangible view of how can they shift? What would empower individuals to feel more safe going to major public events? What can they do to create that prevention mentality? Do you have any tips?
So, you know, everything that we've talked about today, what an amazing platform you've created for this type of conversation. Your listeners should really, really, really take heed to some of these things, and in particular, personal safety, right? So when we talk about preceding the need, that is not a solution, only a solution, right? It's not only a solution for businesses, for the events. It's not just for the Skylar security guards. It is something that individuals can take on as a mentality. What does that mean for the individual? What that means for the individual is that you have to take ownership of your personal safety. So a lot of people, even when I was a police officer, they would say, well, I'm going out of town, or my home was burglarized, and the police, it took them forever to come to my home. Okay. And we can have a whole nother show to talk about. We have a whole nother show to talk about what problems that relates to. But at the end of the day, each of these homeowners need to take responsibility. So then what is my reply? I always reply and say, while you may be right, and the officer probably could have let into your house a little quicker, you still can do certain things to make sure that your home is not burglarized. You're going to an event, right? And you know that there may be a community element, that's what we like to call it, a community element to that event, and it may not make you feel the safest. So what can I do? There's a type of awareness. There's a way you carry yourself. There's tools, whether it be stun guns, if that's what you prefer to carry, pepper spray, things of that nature that you can use. But, you know, sometimes in these events, sometimes those types of tools are not able to – you can't bring them into the event. Okay, so then what does that mean? And you almost feel like you're losing hope here because, okay, so if I want to go to an event, I don't feel safe, then what do I – just not go to the event? Well, no. You have to – one of my, actually our COO, puts together a self-defense class workshop called The Girlfriend's Guide. And what it is, it's tailored to women, but men also can be empowered around physical safety by learning how to defend yourself, learning how to precede crime. So if you're a runner and you're jogging in the morning And, you know, AirPods are really popular. If you're running around and your AirPods are in your ear and your music is blasting and you're enjoying yourself, and then you have your cell phone in your back pocket, you get home and you realize that, you know, somehow the music shut off and your phone is missing and you're wondering what happened. So you were literally running down the street with a cell phone in your back pocket and somebody took your cell phone while you were running, right? So these things, there are certain things that we can do to take ownership of our own personal safety. Alarm. Do you do an audible alarm or a silent alarm? There's things that you can do to protect your home. There's so many tools, and I know we don't have a lot of time to go through them all, but there's so many tools that you can use to protect your home. There's just as many tools for you to protect yourself as an individual. And then there's tools that you can use to protect your family. Now there's a tech for everything. There's an app for everything. So there's technology that you can actually use that will help you not only feel safer. I know there's an app where you can press a button and it calls the police and it gives your coordinates and your GPS features and all that stuff. So, you know, there's so many different innovative things that can be done that are created that can help you feel safe. So, you know, it really depends on the situation, but for you to say that you want to depend on the police department, you're missing an entirely, you know, entire moment of empowerment for yourself and for your family. I think we all need to take ownership of that moment and seek out things and systems and technologies that can help aid in feeling safe when we go to events and even when we're in our homes.
Great. So I also want to add that I do think that it is a state of mind, right? So before even jumping into the practical tips and tools, which I think are incredibly important, I think there's also an opportunity for each one of us to just stop and consciously ask ourselves, do we feel safe in general? If not, why? Where is that belief coming from? Is there objective data to support that? Or have we allowed the amplification of the news to cause us to be more anxious than we need to be? What do we need to do to bring ourselves to a greater state of calm? I think those are the questions that we need to ask ourselves, right?
Absolutely.
Because I think that empowerment is all about coming inward, right? Coming inside yourself for the answers and not expecting. If you expect people outside of you to have all the answers, then that means you're already setting yourself up to be a victim because you're already putting your power or sense of empowerment into somebody else's hands. And while it's really easy to play the blame game in the end, it is neither healthy nor, you know, going to provide fruitful and joyful experiences for any of us. It doesn't, you know, it's the strongest sense of disempowerment. And so I just think that it's real important that we all check in with ourselves with that. Do you have a place where people can go to find this girlfriend's guide, as you called it?
So
is
we
that accessible
are
to the public?
Pilot. Yeah, it is. We're going to launch it on our website. Obviously, we support everything that our security guards, and some of them have amazing businesses. And we, her and I, we lead the way in that and hopefully role modeling that for them. We are going to partner with Girlfriend's Guide, Skylar Security, and you'll be seeing that information launched on our website and all of our social media platforms. I highly suggest anybody that is interested in self-defense classes to follow us on all of our social media platforms under Skylar Security, and then visit us on our website, skylarsecurity.com, and just stay in the loop on what we have coming up, and you will be sure to see it here shortly.
I think that's great. And for those of you who don't know, we've also featured Jameen on our site at JMAC Consulting and on the Ohm Times Radio site. So one way or another, you can find the information, and we hope you'll seek it out. In the meantime, everyone, thanks for listening, and please pay attention to your frame of mind of whether or not you're coming from an intervention or a prevention mindset, whether or not you yourself as an individual are thinking about proactively building healthy communities and maybe replacing some of the animosity and the divisiveness that is stirring all of us up in a negative way and replacing that frame of mind with something more empowering, just, you know, as it goes, be the change you want to see in the world. What does that look like? Do you have to fight fire with fire? No. We can mm-hmm. just move beyond the conflict courageously and boldly, get ourselves in order, and then take action. Take proactive action. So, Jameen, I really appreciate you being on the show.
What an honor.
Yeah. Do you have any parting words for our listeners?
Ask the question. If you're engaging a security provider or you are dealing with a conflict within yourself, ask the question. Don't make assumptions and always put yourself at the forefront of change and the conversation, particularly with a security service provider. If you're going to an event and you see something that's not right, lift your voice to it, and we can tackle this solution from all angles. So honored to be on your show, J-Mac, and definitely look forward to that lunch you're going to buy me next week sometime.
I love how you slipped that in, because I did not know that was part of our deal, but I am happy to do it. Any excuse to see you.
Any excuse to see you, my dear. Always a pleasure.
Yes, thanks again. And thank you all for listening.